The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into College Football Live. Christine Williamson here with David Pollack and Desmond Howard. And there was breaking news right before we got on the set today. So to talk about it, we're going to bring in Pete Thamel. Obviously, there's going to be a little bit of an expansion very soon. Pete, you tweeted about it. What exactly can you tell us?
Christine, the expanded college football playoff is coming, finally. At least in 2026 and potentially earlier, the college football playoff is going to expand from four teams to 12. This has been about a year and a half of a tortured process that's involved commissioner infighting and quintessential college football politics. But in the end, the College Football Playoff Board of Managers met at 2 o'clock today. They voted unanimously for the field to expand to 12. Now, the thorny issue, Christine, is 24 and 25. Can that happen? That's some contracts and logistics. But for right now, the playoff is expanded. And the question now will loom when.
What do we know about the, like, automatic qualifiers, like when your conference in?
Yeah, David, great question. So the model that had been populated in June of 2021 with 12 teams, six of the highest rated conference champions, and then six at-large bids. Mm-hmm. So it's all very similar to the granular of home sites and that kind of thing. I think there still are some logistics to work out. But for the most part, the model that was expected and then debated has now returned because of money.
You know what? It's really interesting you mentioned money. This is going to generate a lot more revenue. We all know that.
Right.
They don't do a deal without knowing the financials. I want to know, you may not know the answer right now, but eventually I want to know, where is this extra revenue going? So that never comes out. People want to know, well, who's the qualifiers and who's this and which conference is going to get in there? Mm-hmm. I want to know about the revenue.
Where does Des want to go?
Yeah, exactly.
Where do you want to go?
Where does exactly?
Where do you want to go?
The money? Come on, who's out there doing it, making it happen?
I think so.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, and if I'm
the players, I want to know, because listen, there's never a deal that's done when the financials aren't discussed and they don't know it to the penny. So trust me, they understand. That's what really takes all the time. Mm-hmm. It's not about, well, is it going to be the conference championship? How many conference champs? Is it going to be these? No, they need to know, how are we going to split up this pie?
So I agree with you, Desmond. They have not decided on a contract yet. What's going to happen with this iteration of the playoff that's going to be different than the last one is that with 12 teams, there's been a strong push to bring in two television networks. Obviously, ESPN owns the college football playoff now and broadcasts the three games of the four-team field. At least two revenue partners, because much like the NFL, college football is falling on the NFL path. We see it in how it's
100%.
Formed, and we see it how it's televised.
Yep.
And so the NFL playoffs have now chopped up into multiple different networks.
Yep.
The college football playoff and Fox and ESPN would obviously be the primary suitors for that.
Yeah.
But obviously, CBS and NBC have shown renewed interest in college football
Absolutely.
In the last couple of weeks. There's always big Amazon floating out there. Apple.
Right.
We all have these in our hands.
All y'all come get it. Because the bottom line is, if you're out there and you're thinking about it, more football is good.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
More football is better. Yeah. And we got to find a way to make it right for the players and the schedules and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But, I mean, every year there's a team at the end of the year, Des, we're going, man, if they got a shot, they might be hot. They might get hot and win this thing.
Exactly.
Well, now we're going to see it.
Yeah,
we're going to see the same thing.
You know what? Now it's more work for us because in a couple of years, they're going to say, okay, now who's the final 12 teams?
That makes the conversation a little bit better, but I am
curious.
Who's
the last four left out?
I'm curious for you guys. Obviously, as you mentioned, Pollack, if this works for the teams and the players and stuff like that, do you like the fact that we're expanding to 12 teams?
Oh, heck yeah. I do. I think it's awesome. Listen, it sucks for – I mean, look at this.
Right, exactly. We need to look at this. Exactly.
I mean, you're still going to get a lot of buys from the top four teams that you would have had this past year, but Notre Dame and Pitt, Ohio State and Utah, Baylor and Michigan State, it'll be fun to watch. And then, listen, I don't think, to be clear, I don't think this changes the outcomes at all. I think we're still going to get the same teams that are winning the championship, and it's the same teams we debate every single year. But I do like that it'll be more teams in the college football, more exposure, more fun for those players.
I've never been a big fan of expansion simply because I never really want the student athletes to play more games.
Right.
You know what I mean? But now with the, you know, the NIL and you got the transfer portal, I think that it was just inevitable that this was going to happen. Now, with that being said, I don't know. We may start to get some different teams out there. I'm kind of happy now we get different dancers now to the party, because this is when upsets happen. You just never know. This gives the, you know, the opportunity now for some smaller teams or some teams that would not have been invited to get in there and maybe pull off an upset now, you know, every now and then. So we'll see. It'll be fun, though.
I feel like the biggest complaint for people that didn't like expansion, the idea of expansion, is the first few games possibly being blowouts and we're not actually getting good college football games. Yeah. Des, you just said that you can get some upsets. Do you feel like we're going to see a lot of that with this expansion?
I think we'll get an upset every here, you know, here and there, you know, just like the Final Four and, you know, the NCAA basketball tournament. We always get some upsets. So I think we'll get some upsets here and there.
David?
No.
Well, you said it's going to look exactly the same. You said it's going to look exactly
the
same.
How many upsets have we had in the college football Final Fours?
That's true.
Yeah, but that's only four teams, right? That's only four teams.
But they're beat down in the semifinals.
If you have, higher-ranked teams,
I would say this. If you have the sixth-best team against the 11th-best team, and that is a Boise State that is 13-0 and a leader, San Diego State. The problem is those levels, the best teams have earned their way up. Like UCF had a great run. Houston had a great run. They got pulled up. BYU's obviously now on the other side of the fence there, too. So it'll be interesting to see of that next group who can cut through and steal one of those six spots as a highest-rated conference champion. Because it's not an automatic bid if you win the league. It's the highest-rated conference champion from those top six leagues. So I do think some fresh faces is good for the sport. I do think some new energy. If San Diego State marches in and goes and plays, you know, sixth-ranked you know, Georgia or something like that. Like, that's fun to kind of see that and give it a little bit of that underdog juice. But I'm not going to sit here and tell you as 17-1 underdogs, they're going
to
win.
You know, one thing you have to take into consideration is that injuries happen, too.
Yeah. Right.
Injuries happen. The more, you know, the more times you play games, the more likely you're going to get injured. And so there may be an injury here. That just look what happened to Alabama last year.
Yep. Yeah.
They lost one of their top receivers in the SEC championship game. And then the next game, the national championship game, they lost their other top receiver.
Right.
Imagine if they had to play another game had they won that game. Yeah. So injuries happen too, and that leads to upsets.
Yeah. I do want to ask one more question. We have to bump very soon, but you know how going into bowl season, a lot of teams, players would decide to go on and bow out, go into the NFL draft a little bit earlier. Do you feel like this renews college football a little bit when it comes to that perspective?
It keeps more people in the games.
Right.
There's a reason to fight.
Yeah.
There's a reason
down the
stretch your season matters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of these people that choose to do it and choose to walk away is because they're not playing for anything. Now they go, I'm going to go get ready for my draft.
Yeah.
Well, Des, if you're still in it, you're going to be like, wait a minute, I can still be one of the 11?
Right.
I can still be one of the 12?
Yeah.
So, obviously, that's a great thing for college football, because bigger names, bigger brands being a part of it, 100%.
If you're Purdue, who loses a heartbreaker last night, you can wake up and get hot in the West and think you can sneak in the back door of the playoff at number 12.
Right. Absolutely.
Like, your season's not over on a Thursday in September with a single digit. Like,
great point.
You can keep going and get hot. And with 12, I think 20-25 teams can tease themselves into thinking they can sneak into that field.
Yeah.
Well, it's also the conversation going into week one if you do lose a tough heartbreaker game, especially like if we're talking about Ohio State, Notre Dame. If Notre Dame happens to lose, if Ohio State happens to lose tomorrow, their season isn't over. They still have a shot at the college football playoff when it does expand to 12 teams. Pete, great
job,
breaking
Pete.
News. Start things off this college football season.
Quick, Christine, you got to understand, Pete, you're allowed to keep your phone on the table.
You should see Pete.
on air, he was like, what? Like, Pete, you can put it
right there.
It's been ringing a lot.
Exactly.
You can absolutely. He's doing this while you're.
Exactly. Like, while he's on, he's like, I'm listening to you.
What'd you say?
Great job, Pete.
We love that. We love that, Pete. Thank you so much. All right, coming up, Jim Harbaugh is walking the quarterback two-step as he has declined to commit about a starting quarterback for the season. But is that what's best for the team? We'll talk about that. And as the shoe celebrates its 100th anniversary, Gino looks back through the years at the best sights and sound inside this iconic venue on College Football Live.
Why do we embrace this? Because it's freaking awesome. That's why.
Low, light, bow.
This is a huge game.
Back up in my chain, hitting like the King's back in his hometown.
We cannot wait for College Game Day tomorrow, and they've got all the goods, an exclusive all-access combo with Notre Dame's new head coach, Marcus Freeman. They'll also talk about Oregon's inspiration, the emotional story of how the Ducks have rallied around a fallen teammate, and also an exclusive one-on-one conversation with Jim Harbaugh. Of course, it all starts at 9 a.m. on ESPN. And obviously, there's a lot to look forward to in this matchup. It's going to be popping tomorrow morning as the shoe turns 100. Our Gene Wojciechowski takes a look at the best sights and sounds from this iconic venue.
I've never seen such electricity in this Horseshoe Safe Stadium.
One of the classic scenes in all of sports.
Ohio Stadium was conceived by a dreamer and designed by a romantic. That figures since it has always been a place of football dreams, of soft autumn Saturdays in September, of hoodies in October, of raw can't feel your feet Novembers. The critics thought Ohio State faculty members Thomas French and Howard Dwight Smith were nuts for thinking the school needed a horseshoe-shaped stadium big enough for 80,000 fans. And they were nuts. Visionaries usually are. Dwight Smith designed it, but in reality, it was a house built by Harley, Horvath, Hopalong and Hayes, by Bosa and Barrett, by Griffin and George,
is gone.
By Parker and Pace, Spielman and Smith, Tressel and Meyer, Janowitz and Day. Jesse Owens ran on its track there. Sousaphone players dot the I there. Buckeye fans celebrate there.
The Buckeyes win it, and it's Bedlam on the field.
The shoe turns 100 years old this season, October 7th to be exact.
The Horseshoe in Columbus, Ohio.
The old Horseshoe on the banks of the Olentangy.
This is an electric feeling here in the Horseshoe.
So what birthday gift do you give to a stadium that already has everything? How about a standing O?
Let's take a look at today's road test presented by Goodyear. So Notre Dame is a 17-point underdog heading into Saturday. That's the largest for an AP top five team heading into a season opener since the FBS-FCS split in 1978. The last time the Irish had this large of a spread was the 2021 college football playoff semis, where they closed as an 18.5-point underdog to Alabama and lost by 17. So knowing that, the question originally was supposed to be, how can Notre Dame keep it close tomorrow? But Des, I want to ask you this first.
Okay.
Can Notre Dame keep it close tomorrow?
Can they keep it close? Of course they can. Yeah. I believe in that. You're right.
You're selling me, dog.
Yeah. But it's not going to be easy. I mean, it's not. I mean, Ohio State is a team that some people think they should be actually ranked number one over Alabama because of all the firepower they have on offense. So it's not going to be an easy task for Notre Dame. But if they're going to go out there and stay, you know, toe-to-toe with Ohio State defensively, they're going to have to stop the run. Now, we understand C.J. Stroud is a guy who, right now, Vegas, they have him penciled in as the front runner to win the Heisman, right? He's an odds-on favorite, and he has, like, an incredible receiving core. But I like his running back, too, Trevion Henderson. I think that Marcus Freeman, that defense, they're going to have to stop the run, take some gambles every now and then make sure that you make tackles out in space. Because those wideouts, they get long touchdowns, but not because they're bombs away all the time. Yeah. They can catch a slant, they can catch a hitch, and then they can make a guy miss and go the distance.
Yeah, and last time we saw this defense, you know, they gave up 6,000 points to Utah.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And they were getting hit in the face with a frying pan against Michigan.
True.
So, I mean, the changes that Ohio State made, we don't know if they're going to take yet. I'm interested to see if Jim Knowles can get this turned around and what he can do. But it is a task. I mean, you saw the Oregon game last year. You saw Michigan. You saw Utah. It was the big Achilles heel of this team. They've got to get that fixed. Notre Dame is a big physical unit up front that will test that, and we'll see where Ohio State's at.
So the thing about Jim Knowles is he talked about the fact that he needs to instill a new mindset in his defense, a belief. Do you feel like they're going to be able to overcome what they did last season on the defensive side of the ball?
Well, a lot of new faces,
right.
The new scheme. I think they'll be more ready for what they see. I think those scheme will be more flexible. I thought they did a poor job adjusting to a lot of different things that aren't that complicated. Right. Now, if you have a DC that you trust, I mean, are there going to be bumps along the way? 100% there's going to be bumps, but I think they'll be more organized. They'll give up less big plays. They'll make you earn it more.
I tell you what, Jim Knowles had a good run at Oklahoma State. He was a really good defensive coordinator there, but it didn't happen overnight. It took time. It took years, and I still believe that Ohio State, they have some good guys on defense, but we don't know just how good this defense is, especially personnel-wise. So it's going to take some time. Confidence is one thing that they're going to have to come into this game with, and it cannot lack even when they experience some sort of failure. Even if Notre Dame drives the length of the field and scores a touchdown, like, their confidence cannot waver. They always must believe in the defensive philosophy and the defensive scheme of Jim Knowles. If disbelief starts to creep in, that can be a big problem for Ohio State's defense.
And sometimes that takes time. To believe in the guy. Sometimes you have that moment and you go,
And Jim Knowles, too. He doesn't know what he has until the bullets are live. So tomorrow night, he's going to understand.
What he can do if
these guys look great in shorts running around here, you know what I mean? But tomorrow night, when it's live, then he's going to know exactly what he has on defense.
Right, and that's exactly what he's been talking about. Mindset, confidence, and sealing that mindset as they go into this season. Yeah. Obviously, he had the number 5 team in total offense at the other OSU, as you mentioned, at Oklahoma State. So we'll see what he's able to do defensively there. All right, coming up on College Football Live, we got breaking news at the start of this show that the College Football Playoff would be expanding to 12 teams. We're going to talk a little bit more about
that. Breaking news, Ohio State, you're in the playoffs this year. Last year you weren't in there. If they had 12, you'd have been in there.
Oh, my gosh. All right, here's our week one featured college football lineup on Saturday and Sunday on ABC and the ESPN app. Number 11, Oregon, and number 3, Georgia square off at 3:30 Eastern in the Chick-fil-A kickoff game. Then it's second-ranked Ohio State hosting fifth-ranked Notre Dame in Columbus in our Saturday night game. And on Sunday, cap off the weekend with Florida State and LSU.
That's fun.
Yeah, good stuff. Okay, let's take a look at What's Your Beef presented to you by Old Trapper. So Jim Harbaugh is continuing to hold his cards close to his vest on the quarterback situation in Michigan. Will it be Cade McNamara or J.J. McCarthy? Earlier this week, he provided more questions than answers.
I mean, no person, I mean, that's biblical. No person knows what the future holds, and it's a process and it can be based on performance. You know, both have been tremendous quarterbacks. We think that both are capable of leading our team to a championship. So people have asked, you know, was that, you know, what, how'd you come to that decision? And, you know, was it based on some kind of NFL model? No, it's really based biblical. You know, Solomon, he was known to being a pretty wise person.
I mean, you guys are laughing, so I feel like we should just start there. What
because
is causing
Harbaugh's
your reaction?
I mean, he's one of the most interesting people in college football. That's fair, don't you say?
Like, we're talking about coaches in the meeting with personality.
Just interesting.
Very interesting. Very,
very different. Yeah. Listen, and philosophies and stuff. Here's what I don't like. I don't like when you tell me I have to do something a certain way.
Very true.
I don't like that. I don't personally like that.
So, I'm not surprised.
If you know me, you know that. So listen, I mean, Harbaugh's got his own style, and he's doing him.
Listen, it worked for him a year ago, right?
Yeah.
They had two quarterbacks. They played both of them. It's not like J.J. was a true freshman, but they put this guy in games when the games were still hanging in the balance. I mean, that's how much confidence and trust they had in J.J. McCarthy a year ago, and obviously the battle has continued throughout the summer, throughout camp. They like what they see in both players. And to be honest with you, and David, you know this 100%. If you really want to evaluate a player, you have to see him in a game. You can try to create game-like situations in practice, but it's not the same. So for him to say, listen, for game one, we're going to start Cade, and for game two, we're going to start J.J., that's going to give him, like, the best data on each quarterback as far as the 2022 season is concerned, more than anything he's seen thus far during the offseason and during camp.
Yeah, and I just think it's interesting from a locker room perspective. Like, because it's just part of the game. Like, you got your boy that you're friends with, and this guy led me to do this. He led us to an Orange Bowl, college football playoff. Like, I want him. Oh, wait, this guy's got a big arm. He can feed me. I might get better numbers. Mm-hmm. So it does start to divide the locker room a little bit. And coaches got to handle that. Players got to handle that. I'll be interested to see how that works.
That's something similar that happened in Georgia last season, right? That's what happened last year in Georgia. But I am curious, how exactly does it?
Well, Georgia, one guy wasn't that good. You know what I mean?
Like, right, but I feel like the locker room was a little bit divided, wasn't it? Because you had a lot of those conversations.
Yeah, I mean, it's for sure. I was there back in the day. We had two quarterbacks, and it's just the way it works, man, because you're friends, you're boys with that guy, and you think somebody can do something, but, you know, nobody's getting the first team reps. There's not one voice.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's hard to.
Hey, man, I'm a different type of dude, because, listen, I'm your boy, but my man right here is playing his butt off, and we're trying to win. You know what I'm saying? So if coach is going with him, I'm here to win, not make friends. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's just how I'm cut,
but
though.
You might be like, JJ slings that pill really nice.
Yeah.
Cade got me to the college football playoffs.
So that's the beauty about what they did, because both were contributors last year. You know what I mean? Like, JJ came in, he did his thing, and Cade obviously was a starter. He started 14 games, but... Yeah, I think it's a very unique situation that they're in right now.
Right. Okay, let's go back to the conversation that we had at the beginning of the show. The college football playoff expands to 12 teams. For sure in 2026, we don't know about 2025, 2024, obviously. So what are your guys' thoughts as we head out?
Oh, man, I'm great. I'm great with it. More football. I mean, it was inevitable that we were going to get to this point. Teams getting left out every year. Now we're going to see new teams coming in, new faces. They get to do new things they've never experienced. By the way, people are going to keep their jobs more because now I made it to the college football playoff. Right. I went on the outside looking in. Now I get to keep my job. I get raised probably. I think it's going to be the details and how they work it out will be the details, but I think it's good for
football. I was a guy who was against it early because I just didn't want student athletes to play more games, you know, but it was inevitable. So I think you might as well go ahead and speed up the process, let it come. I love the fact now that you get more dancers to the party. And I think when you get more dancers to the party, not only do we get more football, but you do have the opportunity for some upsets, you know. So I'm excited about that.
I do want to ask you, too, when it comes to the regular season, right, we talked about, I mean, obviously games in week one don't actually mean as much, but do you feel like that impacts the regular season at all?
That's a good question. It depends on who you are. I think that, well, listen, more teams are going to get an opportunity to go in there. So, yeah, you can lose games like we talked earlier about Purdue. You know, Purdue lost last night to Penn State. But if there's 12 teams that can get the playoff, they're like, listen,
there's still a chance.
Hope is not lost. That's right.
There's still a chance.
Right, exactly.
Nebraska, there's still a chance.
There you go.
No, I'm just saying.
I'm going to say what?
Oh, I thought there were Nebraska fans over there. I was like, wait, what's going on behind us?
We're in Columbus, not Lincoln.
Good.
Let's get it. Okay. I mean, a lot of good games tomorrow.
So many good games tomorrow. We will see you on Saturday from the Shoe. Thank you for watching College Football Live.